physiology, the actual energy output of your body, if it will go down or maintain it. And if it doesn't go down, it shows that the thing is valid. If it goes down, then it's valid, not valid. So we've tested it over and over. We've tested it with chemistry, we've tested it with electricity, we've tested it with kinesis, we've tested it with magnetism, and it validates. Right time of day, wrong time of day with a blessing, they go through. Lunar time, they go through. There is no backing up of the system. There's no depreciation of the system. So, all right. Let me put it this way. You may be a vegetarian, you don't drink, you're teetotaler. And if a sister or brother is going to have a wedding and you're invited, are you going to hurt their feelings just for the sake of one little wine and a toast to their happiness? So, right? Even Brother Jesus wouldn't refuse to make the wine for the people, but he made them a better wine, though, than the one they were accustomed to. You see what I mean? That's what we got to look at. The chemistry is involved. Alkaline acid. 80% alkaline, 20% acid. And the oxygen is in your blood type. So make sure of your blood type. Anybody know their blood type in this room?
Oh,
yeah.
A.
No positive.
Yeah.
What about A negative?
And B negative.
And A.
A positive.
In everything.
The plus and minus is no trick. It's just that you got to know that A type, AB type, can be 100% fiber. B type and O type can be 100% tissue, but there's no such thing as 100% anything. Nature didn't set it up to be 100%. It set it up to be 80-20. Now, within the 80% of fiber and the 20% of non-fiber, you have options between the egg, the refined grain, or a piece of tissue. That's the options you have.
And rye grain is very acid.
So this allows you to be selective within that 20%. I tried for years, all of them, only to find out that as an O type, if I wanted to stay 100% non-tissue, I'd have to eat white bread periodically or any kind of white stuff, the refined stuff. So what I've discovered, my spine is making a little alcohol. It has to be 0.5% of the volume of my body. How the hell am I going to get rid of that? Am I a biological alcoholic? So I'm stuck with it. Now, a little is medicine. Too much is toxic. Paul is telling his own student, take a little wine for your stomach. He didn't take it for your brain's sake. Most people drink the stuff or eat the stuff for what? A fixation. Anguish, they're not using it as a health process. And most of the people that go to gurus aren't going there because of health process. They're going there for anguish. They want the guru to do what?
Take away their anguish.
And then the guru gives them a cut and dry system. I don't blame him. I've been through that. Only to find out it is for people who don't understand what is involved in their own self-commitment. Well, once you understand, and you understand their blood type, you can adjust to the whole program. Now, in the beginning of any program, it's wise to abstain. But to be more informed is better. To be flexible and under your own control is even better. So you should know more of it and be in control and not be fanatical about nothing. Now, if God would not get you into heaven because you had one chicken 8 million incarnations ago, that would be a joke. And I ain't probably sitting on the throne either, waiting for dead people. That's kind of weird. But it's a way that people have to teach the people not to be so vindictive, rather be more compassionate.
If the type AB blood has a high content of sulfur, do the other three blood types also have high contents of particular?
Yes.
What about A?
A has
a high content of silicon.
And B?
B has a high content of sodium.
And O?
O has a high content of magnesium.
You were talking about different based body types. Sulfur is a sulfur based body type, extraterrestrial, right?
Yes.
What was that again?
Well, we had a conversation this morning.
Well, let me find out again. We are all carbon based body that takes an override over the other type of your blood type being the dominant. This is a carbon based body. There are only four types of bodies, though we may be working with blood types in the different types of the body, but there are only four types of them. One, there's a silicon base, that's the base, that's the predominant element in it. Two, there's sulfur. Three, there's methane or magnesium. And four, carbon. We are the carbon-based body. We are the last in the process.
But see, what I was trying to figure out was that your blood type, wouldn't that tell what base body type you were before you volunteered to come in here in the carbon one?
Good question.
Oh, listen, I'm learning.
Silicon will take A. A will always want to go to be silicon.
What was that?
The A type. Silicon.
What about it?
They will always want to be silicon. The A type.
Like the angel.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
A silicon body. Do you understand what a glass is made of?
Glass, silicon.
Yeah. Good. What does it do?
Transparent, and it reflects and
transmits right through it.
It's brittle.
Who does the sodium like, though? The B.
Silicon is the element that will last the same length of time with a carbon in the form of a diamond. Silicon will allow light to pass through like a carbon in the form of a diamond. Silicon will store data the same length of time as a carbon. But silicon is not stronger than carbon. Carbon will cut the health out of the silicon. But silicon will withstand heat equal to a carbon, but it's not stronger than a carbon. Together they can last eternally without breaking down.
Together.
By themselves they can last eternally without breaking down, but they don't crash into each other. Now crashing into each other doesn't make it disintegrate, it just breaks it. A glass will break to a carbon object, but it will not rot or disintegrate into powder. But it is not stronger in terms of. So the diamond will cut the silicon. That's what the incident is. Now, type A, people gravitate to silicon a lot because they are vegetarians or, what you say, fiber eaters. And a fiber is very high in what?
Silicon.
Good. Now, which is the highest fiber food you got?
Prunes.
Good. You see how you... Yeah. Prunes. But you don't like prunes.
Uh-huh. What does that mean? That I'm going to be shriveled and old?
I see. But you like corn,
right? You won't have varicose veins because you're going to eat a lot of oranges.
You like corn?
Yeah.
Good. No, that's very high in silicon.
Uh-huh.
You like lentil beans?
Oh, that's awesome.
All right.
Lima beans?
Lentil beans.
Oh, that's
but now, if with AB and sulfur, you have a suicidal, fanatical person, with A and silicon, what kind of like trait do you need to balance in you know, like characteristic comes up and that could be balanced.
How to make silicon strong? We do it.
Heat it.
Mm-hmm.
You heat it.
Mm-hmm. And therefore it will resist what?
Pressure.
You ever find shatterproof glass?
Mm-hmm.
That's how, what do you do to make a shatterproof glass?
You add carbon to it.
Good. Then the glass is shatterproof. Now how you make bulletproof glass?
Do you have lead?
Oh, diamond or lead.
You have to integrate the carbon with the silicon to an extreme heat where they merge and it will form a bulletproof glass. That means high impact has no effect now on the silicon combination or the, with the carbon. And your brain stores data called a memory in silicon or and carbon. So it's called carbon dating or silicon. So a silicon chip, we ain't gone any further than our technology has shown us already. We can't make what we ain't got. So if you're feeling stressed out, what carbon foods is available to you in the morning?
I don't know. I just don't know what food has carbon in it.
Do you eat almonds?
Okay.
Then does carbon exist in almonds?
I think so. It contains all the elements when you eat, right?
Well, is carbon one of the basic 12?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get
it? I heard everybody say yes.
What did you hear yesterday?
I don't remember that, though. Is that my problem?
Did you pay for your class yesterday? And
yeah.
The class?
More chips.
Yeah.
You, what were the 12 basic, do you remember how to remember the 12 elements?
That's words.
All right, come on. How many C's you got?
Oh, right, okay.
Four.
I don't know, okay, but tell me.
Three S's.
How many C's?
Three C's.
Good, how many M's?
Two N's.
How many P's?
Two P's.
And how many I?
One.
And how many F?
One.
Good. All the three C's.
Carbon, calcium.
Go ahead.
Coffee.
Copper, is it carbon? Calcium, carbon.
Chlorine.
Chlorine.
Oh, I see, I remember.
By looking across the room.
She read my lips.
I don't mind she read the lips. The fact is, made the encounter and you release it, going through your brain again and out through your mouth. That will make the reinforcement stronger for you to work with. Point is, carbon is there in the body,
mm-hmm.
and you have it three times a day with your silicon. You eat a prune that has silicon, you eat an almond that has carbon, but I don't know how a Sherlock prune made from that plum, dried by the sun, that isn't carbon-based already. That's the first time you're going to find silicon and carbon getting together to give you good input. Yeah. You have the highest fiber content and you have the highest combination of silicon and carbon in a food right there in the morning for your brain. And you got it in the almonds because all 12 basic minerals got to be in the almonds. It's called almond in the whole world. Now, you come to the middle of the day and you look for carbon. Let me see if you can remember. Pick out any food that you eat that has silicon and doesn't have carbon. We ate lunch today and you ate lunch yesterday. Did you eat any corn?
Yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Good.
So corn.
Good.
It's both, huh?
For the silicon.
And carbon.
And carbon. When it's raw, the carbon isn't active. The silicon is active. When you cook it, both silicon and carbon are highly active. Mm-hmm. So you can't run away from them. They're always going to be together. Now, did you have tomato?
No.
Yes, it did.
And that little sauce?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay, yes.
That's got carbon. It's got silicon.
Okay.
Can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
All right.
And you're saying that that combination of those two is the one that makes the strongest body.
That's right.
That's why we love corn and tomatoes.
That's right.
The combination.
See how we gravitate to these things and it's in there.
You have to cook the tomatoes together?
You don't have to cook it, but you can cook it either way, because tomato will never lose its vitamin C by heat. There is no way you can destroy the vitamin C in a tomato.
Oh, what was the rumor that cooked tomatoes were poisonous?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was something was released in through the potatoes, I think it was.
No,
tomatoes.
Tomatoes. It's the one food you shouldn't cook.
The one
that was from you.
No.
That's macrobiotic.
Man. You said macrobiotic.
You said green tomatoes.
Green tomatoes. Maybe that's what it was.
That's not
nightshade, and it released it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So corn and tomatoes are great, and here I've been avoiding tomatoes.
Okay. Night time now. Let's see if we can find some silicon
and carbon.
Don't want to touch tissue, but you want to get silicon and carbon. Every fish has got to eat some weed.
Kelp.
Kelp.
Does kelp have both of them again?
Yes, they got both. Spirulina.
Mm-hmm.
See? Green algae. See? Isn't that wonderful Mother Nature knew before you came into this world? That you guys are going to follow vegetarian or meat eating? I love it. So the silicon and the carbon is there in all three time frames we need.
She brought up another point though too. She said, what is the psychological thing that needs to be balanced out? Like type A, B, vicious or suicidal or fanatical.
What is silicon? Excessive.
What is the emotional excess?
I hate to be humorous, but nature is a very humorous person. You know, don't be silly without your silicon. Or you'll find yourself to be silly.
Self-deceit.
So what?
Self-deceit.
What is the word con?
Kidding yourself.
And what is the word silly?
Humorously.
So silicon, when it is deficient in your system, will make you what? A very subterfuge type of a person. You know what a subterfuge?
Subterfuge or superficial?
Both. And very suicidal too. Now, if you have enough silicon going in there, you will walk in that place with what those three fellas walking. Shiva, Shiva, Nico. Shiva, Shiva, Shiva. There you go. We don't care if we got to produce cooking a million pieces of pizza. We are shaking that. We'll be heating our silicon in the form of dunts, known as lentils, or pulse. In your biblical writing, you know, they put these three guys in the furnace and they cook the hell out of them, and they were eating the king's pulse, which is lentils. Very high. Silicon. Mm-hmm. Mm. But they picked the wrong people to go burn. You could never burn up silicon. Not very tried.
But now, I'm still not getting the thing is, if you have a real high content of silicon,
you don't have a problem.
You don't have a problem.
No. If you're deficient, then you have a problem.
Yeah, but she's saying if you're an A blood type, which means you have the silicon, what's your problem area that you need to balance out? We like an AB blood type, sulfur. They got to balance it out. So what does a silicon blood type need to balance out?
It needs carbon to integrate it to make it bulletproof.
Okay.
So just a combo there.
You need the carbon to make it bulletproof.
Would you do the other blood types?
So B has sodium and needs
what? B has sodium. What it needs now is chlorine.
Okay.
B means clean.
Now, Brother Jesus was knocking your head and says, when the salt has lost its savor, where will it be salted again? Clean up your act. Because which one of the two elements will clean up?
Chlorine.
Congratulations.
So what is the psychological thing with sodium?
People who are sodium, they're sad and ready for the sad.
They're sad? Depressed?
I hate to sound comical, but the funky thing is this, Mother Nature made these words to make us look, if you take too much sodium in your system, it sours you up.
Soured on, right?
And so you feel what? Very depressed. Now, have you ever eaten anything sour?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want right away, sweet or salt?
Well, it makes your mouth sweet though after you eat sour.
You want salt.
Ah, salt. So you want chlorine.
Chlorine.
To round it out.
Oh, sodium chloride.
I wish that amoeba, I wish that amoeba was formed in sodium phosphorus instead of sodium chloride.
Why? Say that again.
I wish that amoeba was formed in sodium phosphorus instead of sodium chloride. Because life began in the ocean, which is a combination of sodium, chlorine, hydrogen, and oxygen in a state of anaerobic, aerobic movement. But that life was a resin that leached off of a pine tree millions of miles away, dropped down. They used to call it lipid, resin, fat, cholesterol. Dropped down in the water, water near the pine tree is fresh water, does not have no sodium, no chlorine. It can't mix, they say oil and water don't mix. So it floats down to the closest place possible. That's to the ocean. All water runs to the ocean. Mother Nature's laws of evolution enters the ocean of sodium and chlorine higher, and lo and behold, the dance of creation began. It's called the yin yang or the yang of it. So amoeba was formed by the dilation, constriction of the lipid cholesterol to form a tissue, cell. The original amoeba is still around, busy producing extensions of itself. They never die. So for that reason, this don't die, it starves to death from lack of care. Now, it produces tendrils, allowing it to be like an octopus. Therefore, the scientists say our universe is nothing but a ball running out like strings, and that's the new theory they want to promote instead of the Big Bang.
Yeah.
But the Big Bang is responsible for the big ball running out of strings.
Oh.
So without the Big Bang, there's no ball and strings. So we left right there to look at it dilating out now as octopus, all different marine life, right up to mammal. Reading through, coming back to work with the minerals. So sodium and chlorine. You need chlorine to what? Stabilize. So when the salt has lost its savor, where will it be salted again? Where will it get a reactivation?
With heat. With heat. You heat it up?
In the ocean.
If you heat salt,
you get sodium chloride, don't you? If you heat it.
Yes, and what the sodium chloride will do?
What will it do? Well, then you would be balancing the sodium.
Correct.
But also preserves.
That's right. And so therefore, you are putting yourself in proper what? Chemical balance and emotional balance. Now, is sodium in the trees in the form of a what? Almond? Is chlorine there too in the form of the almond? Good. Now, in the middle of the day,
sodium, chlorine, and celery?
You bet it's in the celery. And it's in, where's the chlorine from? In the top of the what?
All the green tops
of the onions, eh? So your salad is already done, take care of you. No, we don't go too far. Oh, with a nice green.
Has the sodium?
It's high in sodium, high in chlorine. I'll tell you what, green is high in sodium and chlorine. You don't like it. It's called minute.
It's good.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But them Russians love it because they drove Napoleon out of the country after hiding it and he marched back to France. You can show it. Millet is high in sodium and chlorine because it insulates you against what we call weather.
Sodium and chlorine?
Yes. Because if you go in the ocean, is the ocean hot or cold?
Cool.
Cool. And the deeper you go?
Cooler it gets.
Ah. But then, where does the marine that is called a mammal lives? On the top of the water or under the bottom? And the most unusual type of air that they don't know too much about. Good.
And your pressure.
Okay. But he's incorporating it with iodine. Eat now, pay later. So therefore, if you incorporate your sodium and your chlorine with iodine, you're going to build up a high potency vibration in the cells.
Mm. What about O?
Type O? Those are the jokers. They're high in what?
Magnesium.
Consider what magnesium does.
Well, knock of magnesia is a laxative.
Magnifies.
Knock of magnesia is a laxative.
A laxative. Therefore, there are so.
They're what?
It makes you ship. Would you like me to repeat that one more time?
Yes, for your recorder.
Therefore, Adano Lewy has a clinic where he will serve you the bottom line of speculum.
Oh,
he's a typo.
Oh, God.
Now you see why I'm in the business? Magnesium.
Oh, nice. Magnesium to make you get rid of, eliminate all the stuff.
Eliminators.
Okay.
So what do you need to balance with that then?
Well, what's the emotional part of it, though?
Clean up your act. Get yourself together. Not cleanliness is next to godliness, but cleanliness is godliness.
But that's not an emotion so much, is it?
It's an emotion of some people don't want to clean up.
It is
a resistance?
Resistance. And so, magnesium.
Stubborn,
fine, okay. The cleaning up of the body with magnesium, if you clean up too fast, no good. You get what? Diarrhea, right? That means the magnesium is what? Going too fast or going too slow?
Going too fast.
Now, if you go too slow, you got constipation. You go too fast, you got what?
Diarrhea.
Good.
That's supposed to be worse, though, you said.
Yes, I had both, so I should know. And therefore, to get stable with the magnesium, what you see me eat every morning?
Almond.
Cappuccino.
what are we looking for in the almond this morning?
No. Yeah. What's the substance?
Come, let us make
magnesium, right?
No, we want to come. No.
Come, let us make
man. Manganese.
Oh. You didn't say come, let us make anything else.
And is manganese a hormone balancer? You say?
Yes. Okay, well, but let me look at this word.
Oh, that's the more honest you be with yourself. So if you're ended up something for nothing, that's going to balance it right out.
Right, but the thing, let's look at the word come, let us make man in our own image. Take it and look at it in the context of science. Come, let us, the 144 elements, make a manifestation of a male-female frequency, combining it out of two polaristic functions, a sperm ovum. So we have this manifestation working. Mag, man. Magnesium and manganese. They integrate with iron, that's the irony of it. They make a perfect
pair.
So if you have iron, you have to have what opposite to balance it?
Iron.
So the triad in the type O, to make it the universal blood donor, would have to have the magnesium, the manganese, and the iron doing what? Flowing on time. Otherwise, it would not be a universal blood donor. Let's take a break.
June 6th, 88 continued. This will be solar 4.
The trace minerals. Are all around the clock in various organs. But here is one of the important things about it. The basic minerals are assigned, and you'll notice within the spectrum function of those minerals, they line themselves up a certain way. And from 9 a.m. Going right back to 9 p.m. or 9 p.m. going right back to 9 a.m. you've only got two basic minerals assigned to all the entire life frame. That's fundamentally basic. And you've got one gas that regulates. Now, yesterday I told you, hydrogen regulates what?
Desire.
Desire. That's the actual craving in you, which you think you can be blamed for. And then and the final summation is that your hydrogen is off.
So would that apply to any addiction?
I don't like to hurt other people who've done their research work and be classified as addicts or allergics, because I know they are using the pH factor of the chemical reaction between two minerals to read out a distortion in a tissue and to read out a temperature and a pressure reading called hyper or hypo. They've done their work, they spent their money, and that's basically what they'll assess it in the end. You got this because of this. Now, when you take the person who has the problem and you analyze what they have eaten to get the problem, the minerals would have to be out of sync, because 9 times out of 10, the food that they put in isn't to blame. It's the time when the food went in that caused the problem that isn't recognized and is not getting the blame. And the food chemically gets the blame. And we know naturally now that a mineral is in the soil. We live on a hollow planet. We don't live on a solid object. There are too many caves, and it's set up like a pile of pancakes. But to the core, there's a certain amount of flame going on. Yet around that core, it would be amazing to know that you can walk from one end of the earth to the other side by working through the core, around where the plates leave enough room for a human being to walk through in an underground tunnel. So we live in a hollow earth. We don't live in a solid. But the minerals are set up in the different levels depending on the root system of the plant. Now a tree is here, and that tree sets the root. It wants to take out this mineral. It wants to take out this mineral. And it wants to take out this mineral. But in order to do the extraction process, it has to depend on the sun, and it has to depend on this object moving in reference to it. And it ain't going to change for me or nobody. But these three minerals are going to be staying in that location all year round. The plant, in the form of a tree, has to extract it in reference to the rotation and in reference to the heat that it's getting. And this object is in this stationary. For nobody, it's going to move 360 degrees in 23.9 hours, roughly 24 hours. So basically, this here is called a photosynthesis process. Now this object over here, it has roots. Let's say this is the almond, and this is the alfalfa. It's not a big apple. We've got a larger fruit. This guy is pretty tall and sturdy.
Yeah.
They're a little jerk. Brass. But between the two of them, all of them are gonna run right down. Way down here, man. Once you plant alfalfa on the ground, forget about it. You're not gonna plant nothing on top of it. It's done ruin only for alfalfa. Every farmer knows that today. When he plants an alfalfa field, he ain't got no other crop to go in but alfalfa. Why? The root system has gone so far down and spread out to extract what?
Nitrogen.
Not only that, it's going to extract 11 basic minerals. And this one is going to extract 12 basic minerals. He ain't taking any more. Each one is taking exactly what they got to take to look what they look like. This one is going to take 11, this one is going to take 12. And this other fellow here by the name of Asparagus, he got to set his root in too. That's pretty rough because he got to work his way through the hard rock to look like an asparagus, a little bit of asparagus. And he's going to take his 10 out. But all three of them have to move in 360 degrees in reference to the angle of the light to do their extraction. And you know something? Those 12 basic minerals have to be used by a fellow over here who can hop from side to side, turn all over the stand of his head, go in the water and come out. But he can't avoid using the 12 basic minerals because he is made up of the 12 basic minerals. Now his problem is he could put them in at the wrong time and get sick, or put them in at the right time and stay healthy. But the same 12 basic minerals are in him, they're in the almond, they're in the alfalfa, and they're in the asparagus. Now to round up the alfalfa, all you need is a bean, and you get the extra one mineral that is missing in the alfalfa. To round up the asparagus, you can put an onion or a garlic, and you round them out. So, or a mushroom, and you got 12. See, nature is smart. She leave a fruit or a vegetable or nut in the time frame to round it out, but the nut doesn't need another nut to round it out. It's already round it out. So the alfalfa needs something to round it out. So if you put a bean, that's where you got the grain and the bean make the complete protein. You ever heard that in your...
Mm-hmm.
Good. The one little bean rounds out the other one. Good. Yeah.
You know what's curious about it? All those things that you've picked are known for their longevity. I've seen in the Mediterranean, I've seen 2,000-year-old almond trees.
I know.
And I once had an asparagus patch, and once you start those, they never die either.
That's the whole intention of this place, aren't we? The longevity lifestyle group.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we here to live to live, or are we here to live to die? If you want to live to die, be my guest. I can't stop you.
But we were talking about the salmon at dinner. You know, it's like really the plant or the animal describes its own activity and how it relates to us too.
The animal only has one element less than us. It has all 143 like us. But the 144th element, being sonic, is not in resident in the animal, allowing it to have dominion over the 143. It is subjugated to the human being who is chosen out of all the life forms to retain that one other element called sonics. Now, this is an unusual element. It is responsible for the other hormone 43 to be functional. Take away the salix, and the hormone 43 will do what? Collapse. So that's why when John wrote his book, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt in men. Anybody got a box of matches?
A box of what?
Matches?
Yeah.
Good. Let's demonstrate on the shelf our mouth for us.
Speak for yourself, Adana.
One thing that I don't understand about the sonics and why it seems to me that every creature has a voice.
I will show you that voice doesn't have power over the elements in an animal. That voice only in a human being has power over the elements. In an animal, it isn't. Hmm. No animal can shout at a mountain and tell it to move. But a human being sure can chant the mantra and move the Dagon mountain and create an earthquake. And Brother Joshua done proved it a long time and made this muck-up planet having now 365 days and 366 days to catch up for what he did and Isaiah, those two jerks. I'm not angry at them, I love them. But this planet was working on 364 days, every 28 day, 13 times, one complete revolution around the sun. We didn't have no problem. Till these two guys wanted to show off, how are they going to kill one another? You know, they didn't use the power, they used the power for love, and they'll say, all right, but they use it for killing. That's the only thing I didn't like about this, their attitude. I love them for one, but why use it to kill? One guy, hold up the sun, Lord, so we can keep on fighting for another 24 hours. Good grief, man. Mm. But you know, hold up the sun and let these guys wake up and stop fighting and come to appreciate one another. We never think that. And the other one was going to show off to a king that his God is friend and his other God by stopping the sun. But none of them stopped the sun as they thought. One thought he was going to stop the sun for 24 hours. One thought you're going to stop the sun for 40 minutes, and what really did stop wasn't the sun.
The earth
slowed down. And we ended up with a lot of calamities all over the planet, now recording the historical edifices, and we're doing. But I can't blame them for that because that's the way they meant to. What I'm looking at is, can we correct the problem in our own time frame in order to function, to live.
Yes.
That's more important. I'm not trying to change what they've done, but I'm trying to work with what I got left. A time frame in which this planetary system offers me a system of eating and living in a normal, natural, non-show-off way, and to benefit in this process of its own structure. So from that, through my own illness, I discovered what nature had already set up, a law of synchronicity that Carl Jung was trying to talk about in the archetypes of brain and mind and body. I realized it was locked up in the chemistry, and the quickest way to get to it was through the mouth. Because all the evidence and all the books will show it, man was always told to go eat, go eat, go eat. And the last thing Brother Jesus did for humanity was a human. So that tells me, why am I beating my brains to heal my body through other methods when the food is the obvious cause of my problems in the first place? See what I mean? So I can't blame that for that. What I'm trying to point out is, these elements are all around us, in the plant and in the rock. Out of that came the animal. The animal, wow, wow, meow. But his bow wow and meow ain't gonna make one rock move on the ground. But you know, you and I, if we chant a little mantra, this object can move across the room.
Let's do it.
Did you hear it before you see it? Mm-hmm. Which came first, the sound or the light? And that's the evidence. But look what's happening. You got blue and you got gold. Remember last night what we talked about? Well, look what's emerging out of it. Red, white. So it's burning out. Because if I After a while, I don't have it anymore. That's exactly the Big Mac.
So red and white's the last color.
We can't do anything more than duplicate it. But that sound that it made preceded the light. Yet the light has a certain speed to the eye that make it look faster than the ears. Some religions place emphasis on the light. Others place emphasis on the sun. Together, they all make a sun. It's not religion we have to worry about. It is how we make it work in terms of existing versus breaking down. Because all religions have one thing in common. They want you to obey some good virtue and pursue some practical life that will keep you functioning without too much breakdown, right? That's their basic aim. I'm not talking about fundraising. That's different. Yeah, they were told to go build a church, that I may dwell in the midst thereof. And so they went out looking for brick and stone, iron and wood. Then this is the actual church you got to build. This has all the minerals ready to work on, but we have to work with. So health is really what lives in here. Sickness don't live in here. But if you want sickness, then you might look out the devil. If you don't want sickness, whatever you got is with what God is. Life, health.
The devil has just lived backwards.
Congratulations! So when you don't live, you don't need him, right? Now, if you crave something, is it to come to you or to go away from you? Desire is to crave, right?
Desire is what?
The meaning of the word desire is, what is the meaning of the word desire? Is it not to crave?
To bring something to you that you want.
Good. Do you know that desire only means what it represents? D-E-S-I-R-E. Now, D-E means two. S-I-R-E is broken down to represent the two things of D. First, S-I-R-E means to govern, king. To govern or to be a king. The second function of the D is to reproduce. The side of yourself. Reproduce yourself. So hydrogen gives you those two functions in your body in the form of a craving. To rule the place or to spread it up in other kids. You know?
For the what?
In other kids.
Oh, kids.
So the craving to reproduce is the sire, and the craving to govern is desire, or sire again. So desire is a craving to govern or reproduce. Now, if I want to govern, that means I want to gain control. So that would have to be attraction or repulsion.
Both. Hmm? Isn't repulsion also a form of desire?
Yeah. And if I want to reproduce, is that attraction or repulsion?
That's hard. Both.
Say attraction.
Both. You're making something outside of yourself. So that's
to govern is to bring in and control. That's constriction.
Right.
Nobody comes here beyond these walls. And reproduction is to go out and spread out. And that's dilation.
Government.
Chinaman call it yin yang, we call it desire. Modern physics call it this. They don't like the word desire. They don't like the word yin yang.
No, they
don't. You like this word? Constrict, dilate. They feel more comfortable with it. Now, constrict, dilate, also they don't like too much because it's a plumbing terminology. Mm-hmm. They like a little more technical because they're electrical in their thinking. So
oscillation.
And they don't want to call it magnetism, which means the ability to attract or repel, which also means the ability to contract or dilate, which means centripetal or centrifugal. Centripetal is to go to the center, centrifugal is to go away from the center. Mm. These are all fancy ways to tell us in simple language a craving for coming in and going out. So hydrogen as a natural gas produces this function in our system.
How is it played out in an individual?
Are you hungry?
Am I hungry? No.
Before you've got to the state of no hunger, what do you do?
I ate.
Why did you eat?
Because I was hungry.
So did you crave the food because you're hungry?
Yes.
Did you crave the food because
yeah.
So a condition of want generates a condition of fulfillment to be applied. Therefore, the Oriental men call that karma. For every action, there's an equal reaction. That's modern physics, calling it cause-effect. Desire is stimulated from a cause and effect. Nature abhors a vacuum, therefore she also has to put something into it to keep it moving. Nature isn't a stagnant condition. Nature is a what? A momentum condition. So from a momentum, it's like a seesaw. You ever see a seesaw? Now if you sit on one end of the seesaw and nobody's on the other end, what would happen? Now if somebody goes on the other end of the seesaw, you're going to argue of going up and down depending upon your weight, right? And that's how they invented the scale. So they don't cheat nobody.
Okay, but then how do you get, what happens when you get out of whack when if your hydrogen is not working, if you don't have enough or you have too much, what happens?
Now this is what's going to happen. Enough is balance on time. Too much is too fast. Too little is slow.
Can you put that in a different language, though?
Hyper is what?
No, I understand that, but I'm talking about taking an individual, and I don't quite understand how they would respond if they have too much or too little hydrogen.
If a person has too little hydrogen in their body,
this
is what they're going to do.
Don't
bother me. I don't feel good now.
And they're overly passive?
Oh man, I feel dragged out. I don't know. I ain't got no strength, no pep. I don't got any craving to go over and see that movie, but you want to go. Go on, honey. I did it this morning. They have me lifting all that heavy load. I is tired. And the supper even made it more worse, and the tummy is hurting me. And then you see a hypo condition, and then you know hydrogen ain't giving him the guts to get up to produce the movie. Now,
it's a couch potato.
Got it. All right. Okay. You're working and you're in the house, and all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, and somebody brings you a little pamphlet saying, big show on tonight, and your favorite actor is in town, and here's a complimentary ticket. You want to see how fast you can move to get that dinner on that table. And if hubby isn't interested, you can grab that ticket head because your famous actor is in town and you got a complimentary ticket. Man, hydrogen is working fast at you. You got it. That's a good because you're going to be breathing. I'm going to get the hydrogen. By the time you finish, you get it. I just said, man. Hydrogen. Stimulating what we emotionally call desire to be active or desire not to be active. It's the hydrogen that did it.
But now you're saying too little hydrogen makes you hyper.
Hypo.
Too little is hypo.
That's right.
Is that why people seem to do so much when they come up here?
That's
because we have more hydrogen than we have oxygen.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You're learning fast because I have to go learn it myself the hard way. Why do you think I left a country where the water called sea level is 700 feet down?
Below sea level?
The country I was born in is
British Guiana? Yeah. Is 700 feet below sea level?
Oh God, that's wild.
So you know what they got outside of the river? By the edge of the river or the ocean, because the fish in the ocean. You got some huge big steel walls. Oh. Brick walls built. Them Dutch men built it to keep out the ocean. Because it's washing. And so when the Dutch came in, they saw what was there. They wanted to occupy the Guyanas. The Indians live in the height. So they come close where the ship would let them come right in as far as they can. And then they got off the ship and they started building what?
Dikes. Like they did in Holland. Yeah.
Good. Now you come up with a ship from Trinidad, which is only 400 miles from Guyana. And you only see water go like psh, psh. And you don't see what the captain says, over there, fella, is Guyana. Captain, I don't see no place. You're not gonna see anything. Some of the water is, the Guyana is below the water. You gotta climb up on the mast, and if you got a telescope, a curved type, you may see Guyana. But the water is shooting up like that. Now Guyana is below sea level by the ocean. Right into the midland of Guyana, up into the mountain, you got the tallest waterfall in the world. It's called the Kayatur. Now that's the joke on there in Guyana. Below sea level, when you enter, and you're drowning with water, and between the two, you're starving, there's no water to get. The land is dry like heck, and the Orinoco River is running up, the Burmese River is running up, and the so here you are, rivers cutting in, doing their thing from a flush water like that. And we had to live in the below the water. The moisture and the rainfall is very heavy. Now, to avoid flooding every 3 days, because rainfall is the rainforest. You ever been in a rainforest? Good. It falls every day at certain levels, and then every 3 days at certain levels. So you're going to be living close to what? A flooding area all the time. So no house is going to be like this. It'll be drowned out. So a house, we got what?
Stilts.
Right up, built right up. And that's the how they had to build them, on stilts. Unless you build the house at the edge of the river, and it's like a boat. The country, how they survive to match the environment. But let's go back one thing. The desire, which is hydrogen, when you go out in space, you will see there is only hydrogen surrounding the planets, and the astronauts in their space travel will tell you the further you get up in space, the oxygen gets less and the hydrogen zero.
And the hydrogen zero?
Is more.
Oh.
There's more hydrogen surrounding the planetary system, the whole solar system. The major quantity of gas surrounding every planet way out in space is hydrogen. Now, listen to this now. I said hydrogen is a gas that produces the phenomena called desire, which is a craving to act, right? Mm-hmm. Now, think what I just said. It's a gas that produces a condition called desire, which is a craving to act. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're hungry, do you crave to eat?
Mm-hmm.
When you have eaten, do you crave to sleep? Mm-hmm. When you sleep, do you crave to wake up?
Yeah.
And when you wake up, do you crave to go to work?
No, absolutely not.
So,
to be active.
Craving, whatever it is going to move you into action of some type. To slow down, speed up, or normal. But that's what craving will do. That's what desire is. Hydrogen will do that. Yeah.
So, Adana, that, how does that tie into the non-sleep state? If we are going to feel we've got to go to sleep to wake up the next day, mm-hmm. we've got to be lacking the hydrogen in our
system. Not only lacking hydrogen, but you'll be lacking oxygen.
Oh, so that's why we would breathe...
too much carbon dioxide.
Good. You got too much carbon dioxide. Now, remember, the statement in the old biblical writings were... The birth of creation goes like this. Let there be light. Is that a craving or is that a non-craving?
It's a craving.
Good. Now, Sonix is talking to what? Darkness?
Yeah.
Good. And if Sonics is talking to darkness, then darkness would have to be complete hydrogen. Because the hydrogen would set the craving for Sonics to declare the statement, let there be. Whatever the bee wants would have to crystallize as the craving. And the hydrogen would have to provide it, and so we had our first hydrogen bomb going out in the form of a sun. And it's burning out. Mm-hmm. And then the light spread out, turning into gas, turning into heat, turning into moisture, and finally turning into residue called crystal. We haven't found any more than 144 of them. But they're not yet tabulated. What has been found and what they suspect is there adds up to 144. Interesting phenomenon. Now, the human being is a miniature model of that process. That's why he can hop around all over the place. He is, so they call him microcosm in a macrocosm.
Could you review that one more time, the order? Hydrogen first,
yeah.
Going to crystalline.
Oh, please. Yeah.
The sound, which is the word or the sonics, mm-hmm. let there be light mm-hmm. coming out in the darkness. So hydrogen would what? Encapsulate resonance, right?
Hydrogen encapsulates
resonance. Resonance is the effect of sonics.
Is desire itself the same as an action?
Desire is a psychological term for the physiological condition of hydrogen generating attraction and repulsion between two mass. And sonics is the condition that forces this attraction and repulsion to occur within the hydrogen. So sonics is saying to hydrogen, let there be light. Now the hydrogen will take the resonance of the sonics and force some object invisible in the hydrogen to do what? Explode? Mm-hmm. Interesting, eh? Mm-hmm. That hydrogen then would be the invisible gas surrounding a solid mass that is not visible and is sitting there in a state of isolation. And what is that solid mass? 144 elements in a state of potential. And surrounded by the gas, and the gas releases the 144 elements as a big ignition called the Big Bang. And what came out of the Big Bang was a burning condition called light. The 144 elements ignited. Now you're looking at it, it's there, but it's burning out. And the hydrogen is around it. But then, along with that burning object, possible life is not going to work right away, as we are not capable of working in that particular momentum right then. That light would have to slow down from a burning gas, nuclear explosion, to become now a workable gas. Air is a fancy name for it, but it's gas. Then the thermal, which is the heat that surrounds it, and then the condensation of the heat. We have what you call liquid. But what would cause this condensation? Oxygen. So the hydrogen explodes, dissipates through the air, and the oxygen releases with it, and it comes to find what they call firmament or condensation, and then that slows down and become crystal. Now, have you ever walked through the rain and a solid piece hit you on your head and cut your skin? You mean you'd have been through a hailstorm? It's a solid rain, you know. How did it get solid?
Slowed down.
It slowed down, right. So all your phenomena outside can be now understood from the, its chemical composition. Now that solid hail, nice fancy word for what? Frozen hydrogen and oxygen, which could be classified as ice. But it happened to be what? Somebody up there put it through a blender or an ostracizer or a chip box and dump it on us. Mother Nature, you know, she got fed up with daddy and I was throwing the garbage in the incinerator. So we have hail coming down and we have rain coming down, we have snow. It's all hydrogen and oxygen cooling down to get solid. And it lands. All right. Out of that solid condition, we find a condition called crystal. Now, you ever seen a crystal? Now, that's a piece of ice that don't melt, right? Mm-hmm. Good. Now, but it breaks up in all nice, fancy colors to satisfy our imagination. And it settles wherever it is going to form. And that's what they call crystalline or solid. Now, on that crystalline solid object, there is no way for anything to form on the surface facing the sun. It's going to be constantly in what? Cooking state. Now, that same solid mass is going to keep turning. By turning now, it's going to form like rings similar to an onion inside of itself. Layers upon layers, flipping over. And these layers are called now caves, caverns. Sounds familiar? You ever been to Carlberg? And you say stalagmite and stalactite and all that. What is water did what?
Crystallization.
Good. But then you chip a piece off if they allow you, or if you don't allow you, they got a nice tip and ask for a piece. And you analyze and you can see a bunch of crystals in there. And that's. Now, but a cave is dark, and the crystal is solid in that darkness, and you go in that cave, you need a light to guide you around, right? Okay. Now, if they set up areas of light for you to walk through the cave, here's an interesting phenomenon. Wherever a light is, and been sitting there for a while, you go and look around it, you're going to see a strange thing happening. Only where the light is, around that, you'll see a green-looking moss, right?
Growth, photon synthesis.
Then that's the first indication of photon synthesis interacting on the crystal by the light and the heat to the oxygen and the hydrogen to produce a substance known as what?
Vegetable?
Algae. And algae turns out to be a yellow substance, right?
Green or blue.
A what?
Blue or green.
Interesting. Hydrogen is red, like fire. And oxygen is blue. If you ain't got none, they're gonna bury you. But that nitrogen is green, like grass. And it'll keep you alive for a hell of a long time because that's the first indication of life. Hydrogen coalescing by photon synthesis to the oxygen and the hydrogen in the 144 elements acting on that area called light exposure. And that little moss is called algae, right? It is number one proton, but in nutrition it's called number one protein. Now an atom is made of what? Proton,
neutron.
Electron, and neutron, right? A polarity. And that first manifestation of an edible substance there, caused by light on a liquid, and the temperature of that cave. Now look at this funny phenomenon. Outside on the surface of the earth is hot because it's turning, but a cave is not hot, it's cool. 365 days of the year, the temperature of a cave does not change. But 365 days, the surface of the earth is changing every 90 days and experiencing all kinds of strange phenomena. But yet, down in that cave, the temperature is 56 degrees. Now, nitrogen forms like a moss, it's protein with nitrogen, perfect for building the human cell. So that algae now dribbles down and become tendrils, what you call root system. Now it will go this way. Here's the algae. It'll make tendrils like that. And they call it root system. They'll try to extract minerals from the environment to feed it. Then the tendrils may decide to go upwards. They call that stem. They call the bottom one what?
Roots. Mm-hmm.
And then they call the break off branch. Now the joke is this other algae over here makes tendrils and pushes up stem, but in a strange way this one here continues to push its way out to the earth higher and higher and higher. Every revolution around the sun leaves a ring for you to read how old it is, and you've got a big thing called a tree now. But it's extracting the same minerals as this other algae here who pushed up, but he don't go high. He's fed up of going to the sun. He just runs along the ground like that. And they call him what, vine? Now this one produces an apple, and this one produces a tomato. Then there's another algae over here. He goes up, he builds his tendril this way a little, and then he builds it up a little this way. But he doesn't want to compete with this one running along the ground. And he doesn't want to compete with this one high up in the sky. He wants to show them he's tough enough. They don't have the guts to go deeper than him. So he decides to go the other way. And makes his tendril big, fat, and sturdy. You call it what? A carrot? A turnip? See what I mean?
So they express their desire differently. Huh?
Thank you. Now you understand what hydrogen is doing in all three of them. And that is a valid analysis, because that is true of desire. The craving, to what direction the pressure or the turning of the heat sends them off. And we call that genesis or genetics or blueprint or archetype. But they will always follow these three divisional movements, which is a plus, minus, neutral. A polarity already set up. We come along, we gotta obey it. But we don't know how to obey it. And early man left us a model for it. And that the model was left on the pyramids, one of the oldest structures with all the money. And I said to you that here is the design of the model. The human mechanism was left to look like a beetle. Well, most of us thought it meant beetle, never realizing what it represented. This was to represent the three divisions of the human mechanism constructed out of calcium, that skeleton, and from the top of it, the skull to the sternum was classified as zone 1. And the sternum to the top of the pubic bone was zone 2, and the pubic to the tailbone was zone 3. But they forgot to put on, in the drawing, in the pyramid, the ambulators, which is their hands, made out of calcium, and the feet. But what was important about the division in the scrolls was to match the division of the light on the surface area to the different tendril-type fiber-form foods. Now, tissue has an option to eat tissue or eat fiber. And we are told to eat the tissue as an emergency, right? We are told to eat it as what? A prime food. Do you realize the marine life is forced to eat marine life secondary and fiber first? If you take a fish and isolate it, it'll try to eat the vegetation in the pond first. But then it may, if a fly comes to bother it, what is it gonna do?
Eat it.
Right, that's secondary. But you wouldn't look for the fly first, right? You'll eat whatever it is in the pond or try to suck out from the pond. Now, the animal fall in two categories. Those who eat the fiber and those who eat the animal or tissue. And the bird, they eat the fiber or they eat the tissue. When we were set up to function, desire set the process of selection. First, the fiber type and then the tissue. Eat everything that moves on the face of the earth. It's given for food and for medicine. Now, animals don't move. Plants move. There's a big difference in that word scientifically than what we think the word move mean colloquially. Shark, I want you to go over there. Shove it to Nano. I ain't got feet and I ain't got a tail. What the hell do you think I move with? You move me, Nano. Okay, Chalk. Thank you, Dana. That's move. That's plant life. Fiber. The dog has four legs to walk or run. The bird has a pair of wings to fly. And the fish has fins to swim down the river. And the cow also has four legs to walk or run. And human beings got two legs and a mouth to decide which of the two sources of input will keep them alive. So the main choice is the fiber. It's for food and for medicine. The tissue is a backup system. in case there isn't enough fiber to get by. That's secondary, because all tissue life have two options, to eat the plant or to eat one another. So since we are a composite of this principle, we are entitled, but it is not necessary. An actual continuous lifestyle is a matter of a backup system. So we have one more advantage over the animal and the plant now. We are motivated to eat the animal as a backup system, but we should be motivated to eat the fiber as a primal system, right? Now, as we diminish the need for the animal and stay within the chemical balance of the fiber, such as acid, alkaline, we will gradually diminish the need for what?
Tissue.
For fiber. As I said, as we gradually diminish the need for tissue and stay between the acid-alkaline balance of the fiber, we will gradually diminish the need for what? For fiber. Right? You follow what I'm saying? You first got to phase off the one for the other, then gradually you're going to start phasing down that one. What are you phasing down the chemical balance into next? First, we're phasing down tissue for a proper chemical balance.
You're going to go to the gases then?
Good.
Right.
So we move from a solid tissue to a fiber to what next?
A liquid.
And as we start phasing down the liquid, we move to the pure initial gas. Then we have returned home within our cellular formation of the 144 elements to be able to move within the 144 elements that makes up the universe at will. That is known as interfacing with the mass through sonics. It's called the capacity to materialize or dematerialize at will. Materialization is a condition of pressure controlling the elements to form and coalesce. Dematerialization is the ability to depressurize the coalescing of the elements in order to be invisible. So what they call as above, so below, is merely below representing solid visible mass within a certain pressure, and above is a solid visible mass in another range of pressure, making it invisible. There's no above nor below. There are only two speeds of mass to the pressure. We live with it, but we don't know how to use it. But we're coaxed by many, many of our loved ones to start off to believe in it in order to become competent to work in it. So we start off believing, and believing is to crave, desire. Hydrogen sets up your craving to believe in yourself. Oxygen allows you to live in the form of breathing, to be conscious. Then hydrogen has to come in there and give you the encouragement to trust yourself. Now, if you stick it out, you give the credit to who? Hydrogen, oxygen, or nitrogen?
Nitrogen.
Good. You give the credit to nitrogen. So all three of them.
Nitrogen is trust.
Yes. Nitrogen. To stick things out. That's where the willpower comes in now. So hydrogen controls the craving to do things, which you call desire. Oxygen gives you the consciousness or the photographic condition to look at things but not to analyze it, just to photograph it. And nitrogen gives you the ability to stick it out. And carbon dioxide is a residue of all three working to be released out of the body. Now, carbon dioxide has two functions. It can keep you alive, or it can bury you in the ground.
What color is CO2? What's its color?
Carbon dioxide?
You said oxygen's blue, nitrogen's green, hydrogen's red. What's CO2?
Carbon dioxide is a spectrum, black. Wow. All colors are what?
Black.
Black. You need all colors.
No, all colors are white.
But absence of all colors.
Yeah, absence
black.
Of one color makes black.
Green.
But what color is it on the spectrum?
Carbon dioxide?
Yeah.
It's a waste gas.
So it's...
It will fit into any color of the spectrum.
What color is carbon?
Carbon is...
Black?
What? No. It's in the yellow and in the green light range. Do you see where carbon is? It falls in the yellow and the green light range. And at the moment it becomes a gas, it starts to be adaptable to every color. You may call it the cosmic bat. You know what a bat is?
Rat, a bird.
Yeah, neither a rat that runs on the ground, flies like a bird in the air but have no feathers, hangs itself upside down,
and
sleep in the darkness.
So the rats can't
or sleep in the daytime all day, and fly out in the night all night. That's what carbon dioxide, it's the most adaptable gas. So it has two conditions. It can kill you, that's one adaptability. Or it can keep you alive, that's one adaptability. Now, your refrigerator uses carbon dioxide and another substance to make it run. No, you know dry ice? You ever saw dry ice?
Yes. Compressed carbon dioxide.
So there you have storage.
It's white, though. Compressed carbon dioxide is white.
And when it's finished out, it comes looking white, like white ice. But it'll blend with anything. That's the one phenomenon of it. It will blend with any. Carbon dioxide will blend with any color.
There's one thing that's been really perplexing me. When you were talking about the creation in the darkness and the sonics come in, where did the sonics come from?
It holds the darkness together.
So the light feeds upon the darkness then? The light feeds upon the darkness?
The light feeds upon the darkness and the darkness feeds upon the sonics. And the sonics is not visible, but it's only heard.
But does the sonics come before the darkness?
And the sonics is before the darkness.
And the darkness is before the light.
The darkness is before the light. And the light is before the mass.
But how can, if sonics is a vibration?
Continue, it's frequency.
Okay, frequency. Something has to move.
Frequency don't move. Frequency is.
But sonics is motion.
Frequency is. Whatever you add to it is not frequency no more. Frequency is. It's the only word that blows all our so-called concepts to smithereens.
Because it has no beginning, has no end, creative principle and manifestation.
That's what frequency is.
Everything is frequency.
That's right. Everything is frequency. And it comes from the word frequent. And I don't like to be comical, but show freaks you out.
I didn't invent the English language, I'm stuck with it.
But the concepts are here, we have to work with. Time is to what? Trick yourself. Accept being tricked by a concept. You've got your, that's why placebo effect or mind over matter works 99% of the time. 1% of the time is action to action in mass. So matter is 1% existence. And concept is 99% existence. mass is, concept is not. But mass will provide concept all the opportunities to experience is. That's the kind of joke about it. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Therefore, Einstein put it this way, energy equals mass times velocity of light squared. He couldn't put it any other way and left it for us to play around by bombarding mass constantly with velocity to release frequency called energy. And that is what came out of it, called is, implosion, explosion, out of the mass. When it exploded, it went outwards. When it imploded, it went inwards. And measuring it both ways is the same measurement. It, one is in the frequency. Yeah.
So, Adano, materialization to dematerialization is the...
It's a crystallization of mass to be visible.
It's the whip?
A crystallization of mass to be visible is called materialization. A crystallization of mass to be visible is called materialization. Therefore, it must operate at 186,000 miles a second to be seen as a mass. That crystallization of that mass must occur at 186,000 miles a second. Now, if that crystallization moves 1 mile more than 186,000 miles a second, what becomes of the mass?
Becomes invisible.
It becomes invisible. But it doesn't disappear out of impact.
Dimension.
You'll bump into it if you were traveling at 187,000 miles an hour and you smack right into it because you didn't have no way to see it. You'd have to develop a new type of machine to guide you through that 187,000 miles velocity to that mass.
So when you slow it down, you...
When you slow it down, it becomes visible at 186,000 miles a second. The 144 elements is called cosmic dust or elements.
Materialization, the other way is the dematerialization. When you speed it up.
Dematerialization is an incorrect term.
Yeah.
We prefer to use mass, visible and invisible based upon its momentum. The visible mass at 186,000 miles is in the, that momentum is visible. You can touch it. If that mass went 187,000 miles a second, you wouldn't see it, but you can still touch it. If you have a device to recognize in the that speed range where it is sitting. And let's say, all right, 186, I'm standing here, you can touch me. I shift the acceleration and I became 187, but I didn't move. I'm just operating in an oscillating now, a little faster, but I'm staying in the same spot. You can push your hand through the darkness and touch the thing. See what I mean? And that is what we call radar and all the units now. Measuring in and probing. Anything?